tree is known by the fruit it produces. As simple as that sounds, it makes me ask myself some important questions. What am I planting? What am I not planting that I should be planting? What will be my harvest? I don't know if you've ever driven from Aiken to Edgefield, but as you approach Edgefield, you go over the bridge and you get this great view of the peach orchards below. And near the road, you'll notice that quite a few of them have been cut down. But why were they cut down? Were they cut down because they were old? No. Were they cut down because they don't look pretty anymore? No, that's not it either. It's because they stopped producing good fruit. This teaching about the fruit being produced in our lives is extremely important because in Matthew's version of this parable, it concludes a bit more forcefully. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. If when we stand before God on Judgment Day, we want to have something good to offer to Him, we might want to be mindful of what we are planting today. What are we planting in our souls and in the souls of those we love? Are we planting thorn bushes and brambles? You know, there's an old phrase that goes, garbage in and garbage out. The decisions we make in our lives today are often the direct result of what we've fed our eyes and our ears over the past 20 to 30 days. In Jesus' parable of the sower, where he throws the seed onto various soils, these would be the weeds. And what happens in that parable? It says the weeds grow up and they choke the wheat. In the Spanish, it says the weeds did not let the wheat mature. It did not let them mature. And then it describes the weeds that keep the wheat from maturing. The anxieties of this life, the seduction of riches, and the craving of other things. These are the fruits of seeking ourselves, seeking our own comfort, our own glory, our own success. Are these things bad of themselves? Not necessarily. But if they get high enough, they will choke out the good fruit. If we take an honest assessment of what we let enter into our hearts through our eyes and through our ears, should we expect a good harvest? Or should we expect brambles and thorns? Our second reading talks about clothing ourselves with incorruptibility. It's just another way of saying that we're called to plant and to harvest good fruit. What kind of good fruits, though? Although following Jesus leads us to a lot of benefits, such as greater wisdom and understanding, to greater peace of mind, to a better world, surprisingly, those are of secondary importance. Those are just signs of what Jesus came to bring. More than anything else, Jesus came to bring us God and to bring us back to God. He didn't come to bring us more of this world. God already gave us the entire world to use wisely, and to be the place where we can first enter into a relationship with Him. Are we using it for that purpose? Or are we using it for ourselves? Our move toward God is marked by specific fruits, by specific acts. Praising God, doing God's will, repentance, forgiveness, holiness. Do we need help remembering that list? I don't think so, because those fruits are simply what we ask for every time we pray the Our Father. Hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Forgive us. We forgive others. Deliver us from evil. However, we will never possess any of those fruits if we aren't planting them. Now, I've lived in my home for 32 years, and yet for 31 of those years, I've never had a harvest of blueberries, and it's kind of annoying. But last year, after 32 years, I finally got my first batch of blueberries. Why was this year different? I finally planted some blueberry bushes. As St. Paul wrote, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. What are we planting or not planting? What will be our harvest? I understand why we might be tempted to plant little or nothing. Any farmers out there know that planting takes effort. Harvesting is work. In the spiritual life, forgiveness is not an easy task. Praying takes time. Holiness takes effort. Doing what God wants us to do isn't always convenient. These are not the ways of the world. But then our goal is not the world. Jesus came to bring us God and to bring us back to God. In the spiritual life, we will harvest what we plant. We can't have Instacart bring it to us from the store. We can't jump the fence and steal our neighbor's fruits. Other people can help us with the planting, the nurturing, the pulling of the weeds, but we will harvest what we plant. Are we busy planting, or have we gotten lazy or careless? Thankfully, this parish is exceptional for having many people and groups that can help you begin the planting. St. Vincent de Paul Society, our Catholic Women's Association, That Man Is You, Bible Studies, Youth Ministry, and so many others. Go and visit our website and see the wide array of opportunities to plant and harvest good fruit. Fellow parishioners are already actively doing what is needed, and we can join in the planting. All of us, regardless of our age, regardless of our state in life, need to be about the business of planting and praying for those who are planting. As a church, we can no longer depend on the trees planted by the previous generation. This is your church, and this is my church. And it needs every soul to be generous in carrying out its mission, because every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. As we heard in the second reading, therefore be firm, steadfast, always devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Be engaged in this task of planting, and then be patient. You know, growing up in Chicago, my father planted a couple of apple trees in our backyard. And I don't know, I'm not as patient as he. First year, nothing. Second year, nothing. Third year, two apples, and it was kind of, I'm thinking this is ridiculous. We had like a little party over these two precious little apples. Fourth year, there were so many apples we couldn't eat them all. Be patient. Your labor in the Lord's orchard will be worth it. As one of my favorite lines in Psalm 42 says, these things will I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would lead the rejoicing crowd into the house of God amid cries of gladness. Lent begins this week. It's a good time to ask ourselves some basic questions. What am I planting? What am I not planting that I should be planting? What kinds of weeds am I tolerating in my own life and in the life of my family? What steps am I going to do to take to uproot the weeds? What kind of harvest do I want to bring to God? Or will I just be dead wood for the fire? Jesus came to bring us to God and to bring us back to God. The world, the flesh, and the devil, you know, they're opposed to what God desires. They are destined to lose, but that doesn't mean that some people won't lose their souls along the way. In baptism, God made you a good tree. In confession, he provides the healing for that tree. In this Mass, he nourishes you with his word and with his body and blood. Now it's time to respond by producing an abundance of good fruit.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,